The scripture this morning comes from the letter to the Hebrews. In your pew Bible, it's page 205. Hebrews 2, verses 10 to 18. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay. Let's turn to our gospel lesson, which comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. And if you're able, out of respect of the gospel, let's stand. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of the Lord. Thanks. When I first gave Peter my sermon title, I think he was a little worried. I was a little worried because I myself, during the last month of this year, has experienced some anger, and I have dealt with it because God is good all the time. Thank you. So I wrote several outlines, and I ripped up four of them. So hang on. It's not going to be as bad as I think it's going to be. But here we go. A holy man crossing the wilderness was being harassed by Satan's minions. No matter what they did, they could not tempt him or make the holy man stumble. Satan, watching this, steps in, saying to his minions, "You are doing it all wrong. Let me show you how it's done." Satan leans over and whispers into the holy man's ear, "Your brother was just appointed Archbishop of Alexandria." A dark look comes over the holy man's face as he stomps onward through the wilderness. The beginning of toxic thinking. We live in a culture that has become toxic. Government has become toxic. And it seems what is good for the greater good has gone by the wayside. Words like tolerance, inclusive, and diverse have become hot-button issues. And it seems to tear apart rather than bring people together. When law and morality contradict each other, the citizen has a cruel choice of either losing one's moral sense or losing one's respect for the law. Toxic. Our culture confuses tolerance with acceptance, much to our detriment as a society. And more, tolerance has become a virtue of those who believe in nothing. Sometimes one has to be intolerant because some things are just stupid. Toxic. The greatest act of tolerance in all of human history was the death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It was not exclusive for one class or another, for one race or another, but for all. Our modern culture has dethroned God as the ultimate source of truth and morality and enthroned man in his place. As our culture has become increasingly hostile to Christianity, it has a corresponding open to wickedness. Toxic. We must learn to walk the tightrope of living for God in the context of the postmodern culture. By striking the proper balance, we are, by God's grace, living in obedience in the culture and modeling true biblical discipleship for all those who come to faith. So as the culture becomes toxic, the toxicity moves into the church. We in the church forget that the church was founded not as an institution of authority to compel the world to live up to Christ's teachings, but only as a witness-bearing institution to Christ to hold him before the people. Whether your Christian life began yesterday or 30 years ago, the Lord's intent is that you play an active and vital part in his body, the local church. However, church members are the people who generally make or break a local church. And making or breaking a church has a lot to do with the membership's attitudes and the actions toward its leaders, which can be very toxic. So as we start a new year, a new decade, what should we be? How should we be? In the 17th century, I went way back, Miguel de Molinos was a Spanish priest, an apostle of the Quietist movement. And he penned these words: "You ought to know that your soul is the center, habitation, and the kingdom of God. That therefore, in order that the sovereign king may rest on the throne of your soul, you should take pains to keep it clean, quiet, void, and peaceable. Clean from guilt and defects, quiet from fears, void of sinful affections, desires, and thoughts, and peaceable in temptations and tribulations. You should always keep your heart in peace, that you may keep that temple of God pure, and with right and pure intentions, you are to work, pray, obey, and suffer without being in the least moved. Whatever it pleases the Lord to send you, because it is certain that for the good of your soul and for your spiritual profit, God will allow the envious enemy to trouble that city of rest and the throne of peace with temptations, suggestions, and tribulations, and by the means of the natural world, with painful troubles and grievous persecutions. Do not be upset or discouraged if you feel faint-hearted, for he will return to quiet to you, that he may still stir your heart, because this divine Lord will fill you and rest in your soul. Forming a rich throne of peace, he does this by means of internal recollection and through his heavenly grace, so that within your own heart you may look for silence in the tumult, solitude in the crowd, light in the darkness, forgetfulness in trials, strength in weakness, courage in fear, resistance in the midst of temptation, peace in war, and quiet in tribulations." So as we go into the new year, let us remember the words of Father Miguel. Let us remember the words of Christ. Let us be a church that no matter what happens in the nation, no matter what happens in the conference, no matter what happens in this body, that we rely on the strength of God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.